Hello, everyone, and welcome to Knowledge is Power, your weekly recap of obscure and not-so-obscure news from the internets and beyond.
From Chicago, I'm Eric Munn.
And from New York, I'm Greg Rutter. How are you doing this week, Eric?
I am doing much better than last week when, you know, you left the message for our listeners. My voice is back, so we can do this. Can do it strong, you know. I'm feeling great.
We'd gone out to a movie on Sunday night, and we came back, and we'd partied hard all weekend. We were like, okay, you know, we'll see the movie, and we come back, we'll do the podcast, and blah blah blah. And we get back, and Eric's talking in a whisper like the whole way back. And I was like, "What? Are you okay?" He's like, "I think my voice is totally gone." Like,
I don't know what it is. We were yelling the entire time you were here.
We were screaming.
Angry, yelling in excitement. And sweating. That was all.
That was my favorite activity, was sweating.
Oh, my God. I don't know what Greg brought with him. Greg and Andy, I should say. But they came and visited me out here in Chicago. It was great. Check out the pictures on whatevs.net if you have not yet. But it was, I think, 280 degrees.
Roughly, what I figured out that Chicago, though many people might not know it, is actually a quarter mile from the sun, the surface of the sun, and that's why it's so hot.
The top floor of the Sears Tower is just lava.
Just pure. There's no one works up there except for fire-breathing dragons, and they just make it hotter. They're not helping anyone. No, we had a great time. I can't even tell you how much I regretted not being able to say, from Chicago, I'm Eric Munn, and from Chicago, I'm Greg Rutter. I'm disappointed that we weren't able to do it.
I know.
Oh well. So your week was good. How's your show? Tell me about your show.
Hobo the Musical went great. Two sold out nights. Very good shows. Great reviews, so we're looking into seeing when it'll run again. No word yet, so we're trying to find spaces and stuff. But thank you to everyone who came out. It's a great show, great time.
Like, what's a show, sold out show? Like, how many people would you say?
Say somewhere between 30 and 40. The theater's not too big, but
yeah, that's not too bad. Yeah, man. All right, you want to dive right into it?
Yeah, man. Are we ready to do this?
I think we're ready to do this.
All right. You want me to jump in? You want me to?
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of rusty because we missed a week, so now I'm like trying to get back into our groove.
I know. I need some WD. That's for another reason. All right. My first story: Mourners remember girl in mistaken ID case. I'm gonna read the first like two paragraphs just so we can scare all of our listeners. But it happened here in Kentwood, Michigan. For 5 weeks, he sat by her hospital bed, talked to her, held her hand. During those many hours, Aaron Leinlinger said he never doubted that he was comforting his beloved girlfriend of 3 years, Laura Van Ryan. I saw her hands, her feet, her complexion, he said during a memorial service. Even to this day, it amazes to me that with all this time we spent together that I didn't know. Didn't know what, you wonder? Well, Van Ryan's family and friends were thankful she had survived a van crash that killed 5 other people. Until it was revealed last week, there had been a mix-up. The young woman recovering in the rehabilitation center for more than a month was not Laura Van Ryan, but Whitney Sarak, another individual that had gotten in the crash. So, to make a long story short, because I don't have to read this four-page article, pretty much there was this accident in Michigan, and they sent a girl to the rehabilitation center in Grand Rapids and told the Van Ryans and her family and friends, hey, Laura's here, you know, she's fine. And then they called up Whitney Sirak's family and said, hey, I have to apologize, your daughter died. They buried her. They buried the girl that they thought was, you know, Whitney, and it was Laura who did die. And, you know, told them they had a service and everything. And then they were like, oops, this is actually Whitney. Because what actually happened was Whitney wakes up from the coma that she was in, looks at this Aaron guy and is like, who are you touching my hand? And he's like, what do you mean, Laura? And she's like, my name's Whitney. And I just thought, oh my God, how horrible would that be to think? I mean, it's like, oh, it reminded me of the whole miners in West Virginia, you know, where like the whole family.
They find out that it was everyone.
They're all alive. And then 10 minutes later, oh, sorry.
By all, we mean 1%.
Oh,
so God. Wait, you might know the story better than I do. How did the boyfriend was she like badly burned, or was she?
There was a lot of bone damage, they said, and they showed in the article. They have a picture of the two girls next to each other, and I mean, they look kind of similar. You know, I mean, nothing, not amazing. Like, oh my God, you know, it's your hidden twin. But
it's a soap opera twist, as though like they're actually the same person or something but like that.
She, you know, I think after the accident, you know, because you've got, you know, a lot of damage done to you physically, that you're just gonna see blonde hair and a young female, that you'll be like, yep, that's got to be her.
I'd do that.
Oh my God. So I thought that was crazy. I couldn't believe it happened.
That's frightening.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know.
The more I read about like stuff like that, it freaks me out more and more. It's like, you know, people go in like to have surgery on their shoulder and like they operate on the wrong shoulder or something like that. Like that's
the weirdest. That's what I think is hilarious, that they have to use permanent markers.
Yeah.
For surgery. I mean, I went in one time. The last time I had surgery was a while ago. I had it on my foot. And they were drawing on my toe that they were going to do the surgery on.
A smiley face?
Yeah, smiley face and a target. It was really interesting. I was like, well, what are you? And they're like, so they don't operate on the wrong toe. And I'm like, what? That just frightened me.
Can't you look at it and go, no, that's probably not the one.
One looks broken. One looks normal.
Let's pick one at random.
Put a blindfold on me, spin me around, and I'll grab one.
Like it's like doctors are, like everyone kind of has this idea of like doctors are, you know, these super genius that will save everything and know exactly. They're still human.
Yeah, they're geniuses. They're just not super geniuses.
They're not the babies like that are super
exactly,
geniuses.
Exactly, the babies are the super geniuses.
Now, if they were operating on me, I'd feel totally safe. You know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hesitate for a second.
To also let you and the listeners know, all my stories this week are like scary and weird, and then, you know, I'm getting in the mode for The Omen, which, you know, it's June 6, 2006. The signs are there, Greg. I don't know if you know this, but the signs are there.
Signs are there. Did you hear about that woman? Oh, I should have delicious this. There was a woman who had a cesarean section because her baby was due to be born on the 6th.
There's not one. There's
many.
A lot.
Oh, is there?
Like the city of Rome, any woman who thinks her baby's going to be born that day is pretty much trying to induce labor so that way she won't have it on that day.
That's ridiculous.
That's so ridiculous because Satan will come no matter what we try.
Yeah, as like all these women that are like, haha, I know, I'll trick the devil. Like as though he can be like fooled, like, oh, sorry, my day planner was off. I guess I was totally wrong on that one. I guess he's not my son after all.
You know, I don't want to have a birth, you know, of a devil baby, so I'm going to have it prematurely because then they're more likely to survive.
Women are crazy.
Women are crazy.
All right. My story is not as scary, but it's frightening. It's from the future. Wells Fargo introduces envelope-free ATM deposit system. This was filed on the 26th of May. Financial services company Wells Fargo is converting 400 of its ATMs in Contra Costa, Alameda, and Santa Clara counties to digital imaging technology, eliminating deposit envelopes and paper checks, which I think is totally cool. I don't know about you.
I think it's awesome. I hate it. Well, I mean, it's been a while since I've had to. I have direct deposit now, but dude, I remember I used to do the deposit at the ATM so much, and I never trusted it because I was like, man, if this envelope gets like accidentally shredded, like I didn't know what I was giving, you know. I was like, oh God, please work.
Like,
you
know? It just kind of disappears, and you're like, well, I hope some guy finds that on the other end, and it didn't get opened and fell out.
So what's their plan? What's how are they getting rid of envelopes? Like, what? How are you depositing?
So it's so what it does. Let's think. Apparently, I don't have the full story in front of me. If I thought this was the full story for it, but I guess I'm wrong. So basically, what it is, are these new machines will take a digital image of everything that you insert into them. So if you know, it's kind of like one of the from the description that I read. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I'm worried. You know, this internet connection. Everything you feed the money into it like it was a like a change, or, you know, like you're putting a dollar bill into like a video game or something like that. And what it does is when you do that, it not only it scans it and gives you like a digital picture of everything that you put in, including checks.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so
Do you do if you like put in, you know, like $100 bill and it prints it and it says you've deposited $1 and has a picture of $1 on there? You're like, oh God.
Well, I think that's what everyone's worry is. Well, that was everyone's worry in the first place with the deposit envelopes. Is like it's your word against the ATMs.
That's true.
And so
robots always win. Have we not discovered this?
I mean, ask all the androids. The half man, half computers. It like speeds up the whole process. It adds a little bit more like reliability. Like you can actually like see that it's accepted it and it has it like in its system.
I think that's hot.
And my hope is that you could probably check and see, like in the future, if there was like a dispute, you could go online and be like, no, I deposited dollar bill number 814DB691506, like that, you know? Like each bill has kind of a serial number on it.
Yeah. I think it's hot. I mean, technology, I'm always about technology.
Yeah, and
I don't even know if this is useful, really. I just think it's cool.
As though we needed like a reason to be separated from our money faster and more reliably.
And I know now that they're like, I don't know if you know this, but like my first like few weeks out here in Chicago when I was temping, I was just taking random jobs.
You were a drive-by ATM?
That worked out really well.
I made a ton of money.
No, I actually, for one, no, it was 2 days, I helped at an envelope factory. And, dude, I don't know if you know this. Machines that make envelopes are the loudest thing in the world, okay? And you can hear anything. Like, I show up there, all they needed me to do, they were adding, like, a new area. And so I said I'd help out, and, you know, like, I had to set up some machines and move some things in certain areas and so forth. And it was really good money for the work, but they didn't warn me that it was going to be deafening in there, you know? I felt so bad for these people because all they do is they stand by these machines and just watch them make envelopes. And then if like a crappy envelope comes through, they have to like rip it out and throw it away. You know,
ridiculous. Like I didn't think like those kind of places actually existed.
Oh, dude, it was so chaotic and weird.
Like the running gag on The Simpsons, like, hey, you know, we're gonna go down to the cracker factory, or like we're gonna go down to the box factory. you don't think that those places actually exist.
I mean, it was the weirdest, it was the most surreal moment of my life. But I can just see all these people. They're either going to be happy, they're like, finally, I don't have to work anymore.
Or they're all getting laid off.
Be out of a job because we don't use envelopes anymore.
Oh, the future. Thank you, machines, for eliminating these ridiculous companies. All right. That's my story. What's your story?
All right, story number two of the scary stories.
I'm afraid for my life.
Hey, Amsterdam. You be Amsterdam, Greg.
Oh, hi, I'm Amsterdam. Yeah, yes?
You know what? I don't think we have enough pedophiles in our political party. Do you?
We could probably use a little more.
Well, good luck, because you do. It was announced that Dutch pedophiles are launching a political party to push for a cut in the legal age of sexual relations. to 12 rather than 16, and the legalization of child pornography and sex with animals. All right.
That's exactly what every country needs.
Is wrong with Amsterdam. I mean, you know, I know a lot of people get upset with America because we got a two-party system. It's pretty much, if you're not a Republican or a Democrat, you're not really going to get anywhere, or a millionaire. You're not really going to get anywhere in politics.
Sub point, but...
Then I'm just like, well, at first, you know, I'm like, yeah, that kind of does stink. Oh, wait, let me read the story in Amsterdam about how there could be a party for pedophiles. And I just want to read this one quote because it just... It makes me laugh at people. They make us out. I had to find it now because it was so funny. It's just like, oh, God.
Please find it.
Okay. We want to get into Parliament so we have a voice. Other politicians only talk about us in a negative sense, as if we're criminals. You know, what's wrong with sleeping with kids and animals?
What's wrong with touching children where they pee from?
Being so 90s. I just think it's, I mean, and the scariest thing about this is they want to limit the sexual relations thing from 16 to 12, and then remove it altogether. Like, no, like babies. Babies can be fucking, you know? Like, they have no...
Oh, they're asking for it. You see the way they dress?
Oh, dude.
There's all those little girls that don't even wear shirts a lot. Oof.
It's so hot.
Oh, dude. God. That's okay.
Isn't this the most disgusting thing you've ever...
So already, like, the sexual age is already low. It's already 16.
And it's not like, you know, it's not like here in America where I think if you're both under 18, it's like, oh, that's okay. But if one's over 18 and one's under 18...
Well, no, if you're both under 18, you're still in trouble.
Are you? I didn't know that.
At least where I come from, where I come from in America.
Where I come from, we don't see nobody. But in Amsterdam, you can be any age. Going crazy.
Wow. You gotta commend their attitude. Like, they don't want to shift it. Like, hey, you know, it's already 16. Like, let's bring it down to 14 or something like that. Let's, like, you know. If you're gonna ask, if you need $5, don't ask for $3, ask for $10, okay? That's sort of their attitude. Is like, they're like, well, if we petition for 14, we probably won't get it. So, like, fuck it, let's ask for 12.
Well, what I think is crazy is there's this many pedophiles out there that want to make it an issue.
Yeah, like, there's
if there were a group of people that were like, hey, man, I want to sleep with my 12-year-old friend's sister, you know, people would be like, what?
You want to what?
Listen to him. In Amsterdam, they like come out full force and they're like, yeah, we've got rights, you know?
Fuck yeah, I want to sleep with babies.
And animals.
I have sexual needs too.
They really, you know, like age I can maybe see because you're still sleeping with humans, but they want to make sleeping with animals legal. Oh my God.
Imagine that political rally. It's like all these like weird men with weird mustaches, like holding pickets
and a bunch of horses.
And then the police, like on the perimeter, just like writing down, like, okay, here's who to arrest next, and the one after that is. It does make the police's job much easier. Oh, that's not good. Dad, you need to move back from Amsterdam.
Yes.
And love me.
What you got?
My next story is the Pirate Bay hit by police. A website associated with directing users to pirated films, music, and software has been closed down by the Swedish police. More than 50 law enforcement officials raided 10 locations, confiscating the computers and detaining 3 people associated with the PirateBay.org, which has described itself as being the largest search index for BitTorrent, a system used for sharing large files across the internet. I think this is a huge deal, and I can't believe it hasn't received more talk outside of like nerd circles.
I think because the phrase BitTorrent, I bet half of I'd say 80% of America doesn't even know what that is.
Right. So, all right, to give you a quick rundown, PirateBay.org, it was a huge site which basically directed people to torrent files, which are basically just little files that you can load with the right program, and what it will do is will aggregate a large file, and which is often a movie or a music album. It tends to be a lot of copyrighted material, though not always. And Swedish police officials raided their site, confiscated their servers, and shut down the entire system. And in the meantime, shut down like this enormous BitTorrent trading service.
Yeah.
And by the way, I read today that they were they've relaunched the site, so it's not all bad news.
The Swedish police aren't that tough. They kind of come in.
No, the Pirate Bay people just they bought new servers in Russia and Iceland and I think the UK, so they're like spreading it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I mean, I'm a pansy when it comes to this stuff. I've known about BitTorrents for a while now, and I never have done it because I am so scared. I mean, I'm one of those people that's like the person that always gets caught doing stuff. So
like pedophiling in Amsterdam.
Yeah. I'm going to be scared that I'm going to be the one. You know, it's going to be something stupid too, like, hey, I'm going to download, Blade Trinity. You know, something that's like,
not as good as I thought it was going to be.
No, not as good. And get caught and have to pay this ginormous fee and just go, great, thanks, BitTorrent. You know, I mean, I've never done that stuff because I'm so nervous about it. You don't have to comment or anything if you have. Do not feel.
Now, we'll see. I have used it a lot. That's Greg Rutter, 400 Lincoln Place, Barn 4B, Brooklyn, New York. I have used it a lot, and I have used it for copyrighted materials, but I've also used it for open source stuff. There's a lot of sites that I've used it for that distribute freeware, and there's a lot of there's a handful of TV shows that actually encouraged, like the Colbert Report when it first launched. Distributed the first 10 episodes via BitTorrent for free to raise awareness for it. So like there are like practical applications for it. Yes, the Pirate Bay was largely for pirates. Imagine that, Pirate Bay. But I don't know. I mean, it's I thought it was a Michael Bay stuff. I think it's a big step. For the police actually said, you know what, we're not gonna tolerate this anymore. You're going down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel I need a lot. I mean, there's a lot of things that I'm like, man, I wish I could see this or that. But I mean, I guess I don't feel the need to want to download it because I don't know. My internet connection is semi-fast, but. Usually I'm like, okay, yeah, let me try to download this movie. 8 hours later, oh, great, I've got the first 10 minutes. You know, like, it seems like with those things. Now, program-wise, I could see some benefits, especially if, I mean, a lot of my friends that are out here, you know, really want to get into film and stuff like that. And you need, I mean, so many different types of editing software and so forth. And unless you have $5,000 to spend on this stuff, there's no way you're going to make it into the field. So I don't know. Sometimes you got to get what you can to move along. But I don't know. I'm not advocating, but I'm not saying that.
Yeah, it's very strange because this is the kind of the first multinational BitTorrent site or file swapping site that's kind of been like forcibly taken down. You know, Napster was sued and Nutella was also sued and like a lot of these big sites that allow you to steal files like that have just been like legal, like not this sort of legal action, but this was like forcibly taken down and confiscated. I think it's interesting. Kind of sets a weird new precedence for it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
All right, so that's the end of that.
All right, final story, scariest by far.
Oh no.
All right, I'm just gonna read. Listeners, cuddle up, you know, get a blanket, and kind of make sure that your door's locked.
I'm gonna be in the background, like, giving scary music. So go ahead.
Thank you.
That's just my that's X Files.
As if crop circles weren't proof enough that extraterrestrials are among us, an alien has now been found in the stomach of a duck. That, at least, is the conclusion reached by workers at the International Bird Rescue Research Center in Cordelia when they viewed an X-ray image that they took of a sick mallard. So this duck comes in, you know, they're doing the X-rays of it because they want to find out what's wrong. And I'm just going to read this quick paragraph. The drake in question arrived at the center Sunday with a broken wing. Workers do not know how the mallard was injured, but it was clearly weak and emaciated. In an effort to pinpoint the trouble, Maria Travers, the assistant rehabilitation manager, radiograph image of the bird. She was stunned by what she saw. "Look at this," she shouted. "It's an alien head." So, I want, you know, our listeners need to look at this link. It's on the Delicious page. It'll be on webevs.net. You need to look at the picture of the scary-ass alien face that's in the abdomen of a duck. The weirdest thing is, right after they scan that, they obviously cut open the duck. Nothing there. Nothing at all.
It's in the room.
It's in our lungs. I mean, I was so freaked out by this story because, you know, aliens are weird, man. I don't know anything about them. I don't even know if I believe them. But this picture is so real looking, and you've got two doctors and this assistant that all saw the picture and are like, "I don't know what this is, but it looks like an alien face."
WTF is this? I thought the pictures are really strange. It's a really weird, but it, you know, I don't know if it convinces me that aliens are real and living in ducks, but
watch your mouth. They can hear you.
They can hear you. That's Greg Rutter at 400. I love the title for it. Unidentified face-like object peeks out from duck X-ray at Wild Bird Rescue Center. That is the longest title I've ever read in my entire life. I don't know what to make of it. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like strange but true. But all these like rational scientist doctors are like,
that's what I think is weird about it.
That's their first conclusion. They're like, it was an alien. Yep.
It was an alien head.
It probably wasn't a you know, a blip in like
the X-ray machine.
Probably not. It was an alien.
Alien head.
Yep.
Definitely alien head.
Logical.
What do you think of? I wanted to ask you this. What do you think of crop circles? Like, what do you think those are? It's just some like drunk hicks or whatever doing some stuff.
I don't think like they're definitely not. They've been like patently like disproven, haven't they?
I thought so. I mean, I thought it's been shown. I mean, the other reason I think it's weird is, what the hell would an alien ship like land in the middle of a cornfield and be like, "Here's my imprint. Goodbye.
I'm gonna leave my signature."
Oh, it's like Earth cornfields are the training of handwriting for alien babies.
Yep.
They come down and it's like, "All right, practice your letter click clock." And they come down and they're like, "How did that look? Oh, well, try it on that other cornfield over there."
They haven't invented paper yet, so.
Yeah. Stupid aliens.
They're pretty. Get with the times. Ducks are in the past. Ducks are so yesterday.
I mean, I just really want our listeners to look at the picture because it is kind of creepy. It's one of those, like, wow, after I see that picture, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Ever again. Reminds me of something else. Anyway, I'm terrified of my own life. All right, Is there any, do you want to, what was else? What are you saying?
I'm saying nothing. We're done.
Oh.
I'm done.
Okay. Okay, good.
I don't have bad mouth it anymore. It might.
I do believe in you. All right. Next story, my story. Last story. ShalojaLeePitt.com is off the market. Angelina Jolie doesn't waste any time when it comes to the business end of the celebrity baby name. Within hours of the birth of Shiloh, I thought
it was Shiloh.
I'm going to butcher this. Shiloh Noel Jolie Pitt, the actress's reps, had registered the domain name ShalojaLeePitt.com, heading off a name grab by domain speculators.
Spectacles.
I think this is hilarious. She registered ShalojaLeePitt.com as well as .net, .org, and .info. This baby comes into the world with, like, one too many domain names.
Oh, I mean, this whole thing.
It's ridiculous.
It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. I mean, one, to them giving birth to the baby in Namibia is the funniest thing to me. Like, who is that saying something to? You know, like, oh yeah, American doctors, we're going to Namibia.
You think the baby's in my left foot? You're wrong.
So wrong.
Mark where the baby's coming in with your permanent marker all you want. I'm going to Namibia.
And it's just, oh, I think it's the funniest thing. And yes, to honestly spend the time to buy the website names of not only the .com but the .org and the .net is the funniest. It's chaos.
And you know what's even funnier is that immediately afterwards the .biz and .us, which they did not register, were bought by other people.
Of course they were. and
the saddest part is I run an auto repair company, ShalojaLeePitt.com. Now I can't get a foot in the market. So, I don't know. I think this is a hilarious story. Don't you think so?
Yes, I think Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are just it's the weirdest birthing I've ever. I mean, I want to know from like our parents' generation or whatever if they had weird celebrities too that did these weird, you know, like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes stuff. It's the weirdest stuff in the world, man.
Yeah, the whole celebrity culture cracks me up because it's like, it's not even the obsession with the celebrities, it's the obsession with like knowing what's happening.
Yeah.
Like I like reading those blogs and like pick up those magazines when I can, just for the sheer like novelty of like the fact that there's people whose whole jobs are around going to Namibia and like waiting in a bush trying to get a picture.
That's hilarious.
Those are the people who at 40, you just find them like curled up in their shower crying, like, what have I done with my life? Help me. All right. Let's move on to our favorite section, pimps and hoes.
Pimps and hoes.
All right, your pimps and your hoes. Your pimps.
My pimps, my friend, are you and I. And I'm going to explain. I mean, one, it's obvious. We're pimps. It's just
it's self self-explanatory.
But I'll give some reasoning behind it. One, we tore up the Windy City. I mean, we had a great time here.
Right.
And it was just awesome. But the main reason is both of us, this last week, were mentioned in two very pimp podcasts.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, explain to the listeners the one that you were in.
Well, mine was more of a obscure one. It was the Across the Sound podcast, which is hosted by Joseph Jaffe, who wrote the book. Literally wrote the book on advertising, which is called Life Beyond the 30-Second Spot. Very good book. And he does a podcast called Across the Sound. And I sent him, he interviewed my global CEO at Saatchi & Saatchi, Kevin Roberts, a couple weeks ago. And I emailed him and was like, you know, hey, I'm really into this podcasting. And I think you're doing a great job. And, you know, I took your clip and sent it to everyone. And now everyone's all hot for podcasting and blah, blah, blah. And he read it on the show and he was like, you know, Greg, I love what you did. He's South African, so he has a goofy accent. Greg, I love what you did. It really exemplifies everything I did. And if I were to point at one thing that kind of sums up everything in my book, like, this is it. This is exactly what I'm talking about. So
I love the clip that I heard because he's like, yeah, and that's signed from Greg Rutter. And I think that's amazing. I think that's so amazing.
Nice about it. He was very excited. And then – and actually, like, about – two minutes after he read my email and talked about it, so he read another email and he's like, and the scotches are really kicking in. If I didn't mention that earlier, I've been drinking a bunch of scotch. So that was not mentioned in my other podcast, but and you talk about yours. I barely heard about yours.
Yeah, well, I listen to this podcast called Never Not Funny a lot, and it's hosted by this guy named Jimmy Pardo, who's a stand-up comedian who is hilarious. This podcast is great. It's him, this other stand-up comedian named Mike Schmidt, and then they have a producer there named Matt that helps out. And they just honestly BS. There's no plan. It's not like, okay, this week we're going to talk about – I mean, they just go in. And for 40 minutes, just come up straight off the top of their head, whatever they're talking about. And it's hilarious. So anyways, I emailed them. I've been listening since their first episode. They've had about 9 episodes now. And then I emailed them one day because they had a out. You and I both kind of know this, being in comedy. We always have to be the freaking guys that after, you know, you show up at the party and people are like, hey, so what do you think of this? And we have to try to make stupid jokes about everything, you know?
Mine are stupid or whatever.
Greg is a comedy genius.
I only do highbrow comedy. So let's talk about farts.
And they had a great episode where they talked about, like, one guy ended up getting in a fight with another guy at a party. And it was hilarious. I emailed him telling him that I was laughing out loud at lunch, and, like, people were looking at me, you know. And he read it on the air. It was great. Said my name and everything. And then he replied to my email and said, hey, I'm sending you a free CD. I was like, that's pimp.
Oh, awesome.
So they're really cool. They're my actual TWWF this week. I'll jump in on that. Never Not. Check it out. You can check out you can either search for Never Not Funny on iTunes or their website is jimmypardo.com, and you can subscribe to the podcast there. Great show. If you want to hear me, I'm in episode 9. He talks about me at 26 minutes into the show.
No, I think. I'm just guessing.
I'm just guessing, not that I listened 7 times.
All right.
Who's your pimp?
My pimp for the week is Gnarls Barkley, the hip-hop and singing duo, I guess you'd be called, Danger Mouse and CeeLo. Because the story is that in the UK, the song Crazy, I don't know if you've heard it. Of course you've heard it. It's everywhere. Has been number one. It was the first song ever to go to number one strictly from downloads. It was the first single to be like a number one single before the album was released.
Wow.
And since then, it's been at number one for the last 9 weeks, which is a big deal, and it's been there for a long time. Well, the band, the two guys, have decided that it's too much, like it's gone too far, and have pulled it, and have said, like, no more playing it on the radio, no more showing the video, like we don't want it out there anymore, and have like pulled their own single. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting and weird. I mean, one, I don't know, maybe I'm out of the loop on this, but, I mean, I can see it being big in UK, whatever. I haven't heard it much on the radio here. Like, I don't know. I don't listen to a lot of underground hip hop stuff out here in Chicago. I mean, in Chicago, there's only two big hip hop stations, and one plays a majority of R&B as well as hip hop. So you don't get a lot. And the only place I ever really heard the song is on MTV Jams. I watch that channel every now and then, just when I'm messing around. And the video is so pimp, I can't believe they're going to pull it. It's one of the best videos I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's a really good video. But
I think I'm really surprised that they're like, no, we don't want this to be popular. You know?
No. It's not that. No, it's not that. They just don't want it. It's like they feel like it's totally gone overkill. I call this the Hey Ya effect. It's the fact that you love it and you're like, oh my god, this is a great song, blah 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 blah, and you listen to it, and eventually you come to the point where you're like, I fucking hate that song. If I hear it one more time, I'm gonna scream.
And really, I think I still like Hey Ya.
I do too. I do too. I call it the Hey Ya effect, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I fucking hate that song, but I love it. I can't get enough of it.
I could never stop it. That too was a great video. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That song. I remember the first time I heard it, blew my mind.
So I think they're trying to avoid that, and I think it's great for them, because now it's like, it's totally reached saturation level. Like, every single person has heard it and wants to hear it and likes it, and they can't, and they suddenly can't.
I don't know. I mean, I, you and I already differ on this. I'm not a huge fan of the Gnarls Barkley album. It didn't do anything for me. You know, most albums will do my homework, or, you know,
at least cut my grass.
This one kind of like looked at me and was like, where's my coffee? And I was like, whatever, Gnarls. So, I mean, it's an okay album. I didn't think it was the hottest thing. Because it was getting so much publicity and all I had heard was Crazy, I was like, oh man, I got to pick this thing up, you know? And then when I got it, I was just like, whatever. Because I think CeeLo is one of the pimpest rappers. I don't know if rapper is the right word, but
musician.
He's so awesome, lyrically and singing-wise. He has a great sound on one of my favorite Outkast songs called it's on the Tomb Raider soundtrack. I can't think of the name of the song right now. But
I know which one you're talking about.
But, you know, CeeLo is amazing, and I love his first two albums that came out, his solo stuff. So I thought I would really like Gnarls, but I don't know, I didn't get into it. And I don't know, maybe, are they pulling it everywhere, nationally, or just UK?
I think just the UK.
Okay, well, that might make sense. I mean, because I don't think my roommate or my girlfriend know anything about Gnarls Barkley.
Really?
I really don't think it's big in America. I don't think it is.
I think it's pretty big, because the girl behind me at work has played the, like, I gave her the album, because I'm like, oh yeah, I have it. Do you want it? And she's played it back to back to back to back for the last 2 weeks.
That's because she has this weird crush on you, and it's like, oh god, this is the best thing.
He's touched these files.
Oh.
So I think it's a good move. It's, you know, like, it shows like bigger thinking than just I'm gonna make the biggest song ever. Oh my god, everyone's gonna love it. It's like, it shows like long term like strategy.
I think it's very cool. It's almost, they're almost playing the
race card.
No, kind of like the forbidden fruit. Like, oh yeah. You know, like, there's going to be people in the next, like, couple of months that are going to be like, I never even got to hear it. Now I really want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, like, before they were like, whatever, Gnarls Barkley. And now they're going to be like, oh, my God, I really got to catch this, because it's going to be a long time before I can
hear it. Would you ever buy an album, like, because the song's already everywhere, would you be like, I think I'm going to buy the album and hear that song that I've heard a million times? No. You're going to buy the album because it's a song you really like and you don't get to hear it very often.
Yeah, but I mean, I also might buy something that everyone is talking about. You know, like what's that group that pretty much sounds exactly like the Strokes? Arctic Monkeys?
I don't know.
They were getting, like, everyone was talking about them, and I was like, okay, I'll check it out. Well, not as great as I thought it was. So, I'm one of the bandwagon people.
You're a bandwagoner.
Bandwagoner.
All right. Next.
So I already said my. Oh, I haven't said my hoe.
You haven't said your hoe.
Forgot to slap my hoe. I'm gonna grab the article right here. All right. O.J. Simpson's daughter was sentenced Wednesday to 50 hours of community service. Oops. Yay! Oops. My hoe is Simpson. Didn't you kind of learn from daddy's mistakes that you shouldn't violent?
So what happened? Why did she get sentenced?
January of 2005, when Miami police said she repeatedly yelled profanities at officers called to ransom Everglades School to stop a fight after a boys' basketball game. Then 19, Sydney Simpson had already graduated from Gulliver at the time, so she was like just back at this high school.
Oh, was she one of those weirdos that like goes back to the high schools and like watches the basketball games?
Yeah, exactly. And so she started yelling profanities at some cops. They went to take her into custody, and she slapped a police officer's hand.
Ooh, that's a no-no.
That now she's got 50 hours of community service. And it's just like, you know, learn your lessons.
Hey, girls love that stuff, man. Girls love treating cops bad. True. It's true, man. I don't know. This is, I guess O.J. Simpson apparently is not the best husband or the best father.
I heard different.
I heard good things.
I heard good things about O.J.
He's got a lot of like crap on his plate, I think.
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of bad press lately.
He's getting, you know, I heard bad things. Sorry, O.J. You and your family. Let's now that your show Juiced is not going on the air.
Thank God.
My hoe is Brett Ratner. Not only for fucking X-Men 3 this week. Ugh. Which we saw on Sunday. It was just severely disappointed.
The only good thing in that entire movie is after the credits.
And even that is not that great.
I think it's pretty pep. I'm not going to give it away, but it's worth sticking around for. You have to admit, right?
Yeah, it was worth sticking around for. But there's a scene in the movie that has a character Juggernaut, and everyone's all excited, like, oh, you know, the Juggernaut, I'm glad he's going to be in it. There was a video floating around for a while, like two or three weeks at least, of this guy. Let me find his name. Someone. Anyway, we'll call him someone.
Call him someone.
Just you know, just call him that. Shoot. Oh well. Xavier Nazario. There he is. There he goes. So this guy Xavier Nazario, he's a 21-year-old college student, took a clip of an old like X-Men cartoon and just like redubbed over the top of it and just said, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. You can't fuck with me. I'm the Juggernaut." And like,
the clip is pretty much doing all this damage,
just destroying everything.
And it's hilarious. I mean, you guys should really check this clip out. And yeah, the guy just keeps continually saying, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch."
And he says it probably 90 times or something like that. It's ridiculous and stupid. And,
Python, you know, you get, once you do something 12 times, it's funny.
It just becomes funny. So it was kind of like floating around. Well, then there's a scene in the movie where, like, you can't, like, the Juggernaut gets trapped in this thing, and he's like, "You can't stop me. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch." And it's just, it's, and when I saw it in the movie, I was like, oh, that was from the cartoon. And everyone, there was a lot of people in the theater that were laughing, so they'd obviously seen it. And I thought it was,
I laughed, though. I laughed at that line.
Just because
I had not seen the clip. Oh. I just thought it was funny because he's yelling that line at, like, a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny that he's calling a 12-year-old girl a bitch. And then I laughed even more, though, when you showed me the YouTube clip. I thought that was hilarious. And then, I mean, I wasn't upset, but I still think Brett Ratner's a hoe, that his two best things in the movie, I'm sure, weren't even from him.
Right, so he stole like this reference and didn't track down this Xavier Nazario, didn't give credit. Like, it was an unauthorized.
She said type thing, you know. I mean, Navario, I'm guessing his name because I don't have it in front of me. But I'm guessing he could be like, hey, you stole this from me. And Ratner could just be like, whatever, dude, the phrase, I'm the juggernaut, bitch. You know, anyone could say that.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little.
I mean, it's really similar. I am not in favor of Brett Ratner. I am against him for, one, ruining the X-Men series, and, two, creating two Rush Hours.
A sequel. The whole thing is just, it was bad. So, like, I hate Brett Ratner, everyone. I hate everyone. The end.
Yes.
All right. So your TWWFW, things with whom we wish we were friends. You've kind of talked about Never Not Funny. Do you want to explain the show a little bit more, or?
Oh no, I think everyone gets it. Just check it out. He's a great comedian. JimmyPardo.com. One of the best podcasts out there. I laugh every time. Great guy. And it's not just because he said my name. It's also because he gave me a free CD.
Free CDs.
I don't know if this TWWFW is things with whom we wish we were friends. Jesse Thorne from episode 7 is our friend now.
How hot is that?
I'm excited. I think this is working, and hopefully Jimmy Pardo will be our friend now.
Do you know Jesse did stand-up?
I did not know that. I assumed that he did at one point.
He had a stand-up comedian on his show, and he said, hey, that was the night I performed with you. And I was like, what? So I wonder if it's good. I'd like to check it out.
I bet it'd be good. My thing with whom I wish I was friends with is Veiled Conceit, which is I didn't prep you on this beforehand, Eric. It is a blog that's been around for like a long time, and it's just starting to make a comeback again. It's by this guy Zach, who basically just looks at the New York Times wedding announcements every week, and makes fun of them, like exposes them for like all the shit that they are. And I don't know if you've ever looked at the New York Times wedding announcements, but they're the most shitty, superficial, pathetic things ever.
That's hilarious. No, I've never once thought. Can you look at those online?
Yeah, you can access them online.
That's hilarious. No, I've never thought to do that
ever. And there's this whole subculture that goes into like choosing who gets in them, and the descriptions and the pictures. Like the pictures are weird because you have to. If you were to look at the Wedding Times, the New York Times wedding announcements, every single person, or every single couple, their eyes are exactly level. It's like,
that's scary.
Yeah, and it's.
And it's an alien duck in the thing.
It's really like in depth, but Zach just has this way of just like cutting to it exactly and totally, just describing it to a T. And it turns out that just totally at random, I met a girl that he used to date like a long, long time ago, and was just like, I had totally forgotten about his blog, and now it's like making a comeback because he moved to Chicago to be a lawyer, but now he's like writing it again. I'm very excited because it's amazing.
Hey, you know who else we have to give a shout out to?
Who?
Our buddy Randy. He was also a pimp this week. Because yeah. CNN.com referenced our buddy Randy's blog.
Pick it up. I'll add that to our page someplace.
We don't need to make him a TWWF because he's already one of our friends.
He is our friend already. I'll add the link to the article where he's picked up.
Oh, and I also want our listeners to know I myself have finally joined the blogging world. And you can read my blog. It's called Dad's Secret Stash. There's a link to it on whatevs.net. So just head over there. And if you're interested in any of these stories, you know, that we've been talking about today, please check out whatevs.net. And if you want to look at my story specifically, find them at delicious, that's del.icio.us/knowledgeispower/Eric.
And if you want to check out any of my stories, go to delicious/knowledgeispower/Greg. Or you could check out all these stories daily on our webpage, whatevs.net.
Excellent show.
So that's everything.
Now I have to admit, we might be a little late because next week I will be in L.A.
What?
Yeah, I'm going on a trip to L.A. for from June 8th to the 12th.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. Check out the glitz and glamour of that area. See how it is.
Or something.
Yep.
Oh, cool, man. All right. Well, that is everything for this week from Knowledge is Power. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
All right. Bye, everyone.